12. So if you want to turn to John 12, our focus this morning will be John 12, verses 1 to 8. And we will find ourselves in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And, you know, Jesus, he had been there before. These are good friends of his. And the family there, they're having dinner in the honor of Jesus. Because what had Jesus just done? But called Lazarus's name, right? And he literally came out of a grave. And so this is what has just happened. And so they're having this dinner in the honor of Jesus. And we can just imagine that it may be because of what had just happened, you know, as a result of what Jesus had done in their life. They're celebrating, they're honoring him. And so he had gone to the home of his friends, and Martha, she's serving Jesus. Isn't that her typical role? If you've read anything about Martha, you know that she was serving Jesus, right? She was waiting on the table and taking care of him. And Lazarus, he's sitting at the table. And Mary, she's also found in a place where we've seen her before, at the feet of Jesus. So this is kind of what brings us to where we're going to be this morning. In fact, this is where we'll focus. So John 12, verses 1 to 8 says this. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one whom was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor?" He had said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." And so this was a dinner of honor. This is a celebration. Sorry, I'm going to keep playing with this. And friends, they were together and they were eating with one another. They were in community with one another. And as we read this, we are reminded, or at least I am, of a very similar scene that's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And Jesus, he's in the home of Martha and Mary. And we know that he had come at Martha's invitation, and while he was there, Mary, she was sitting at his feet, and she was just listening to everything. She was just taking it all in. Anything that Jesus had to say, she wanted to know what it was. So she was just sitting there, taking it all in, absorbing what he was saying, and she was just completely consumed by his words. Now, Martha, she is busy serving, right? And she's working, and she's probably readying the meal, and she's annoyed. She's annoyed because her sister isn't doing anything. She's just sitting there, and she thinks, how can she just sit there with all this work that I have to do? And so she says to Jesus, "Hey, what are you going to do about this? Can't you tell her that I'm busy working and she should get up and help me?" And Jesus, he responds and says, "You know what? She's doing exactly what it is that she is supposed to do. And she is exactly where it is that she is supposed to be." And so again, in John 12, where we are this morning, Martha is serving the table, and again, Mary is at the feet of Jesus. And she's completely devoted to everything it is that he has to say. And then what she does is she completes this just absolutely humble act, right? This completely intimate and humble act by pouring out this expensive oil, this expensive perfume onto the feet of Jesus. And to make it even more humbling and even more intimate, she takes her own hair and she begins to wipe it off of Jesus's feet. She took part of herself and she used it for the service of Jesus. And so the oil that she used was very expensive. It was pure nard. And so this oil actually would have been imported oil. It would have come from the Himalayas. So it's not like something she should just pick up anywhere. It took some effort to get it, right? And so it's not something that typically someone would pour out. And not only was it something that took some effort to get, but it would have been very costly. A denarii would have been equal to a day's work. So if this says that this is the cost of 300 denarii, right, that would be 300 days worth of work. So this wasn't just anything that she poured on the feet of Jesus. It was the most costly, right? And it was very difficult to get. It's not something you would typically just pour out. And not only this, but it is an oil that is set apart for the burial of kings. So the fact that she did this, that she poured it out on Jesus' feet, is so symbolic and so precious and so special and so powerful, because she is recognizing that he is the king, and she is recognizing that he is worthy of this. And so she knew the oil that she poured out wasn't cheap, right? But she also knew that neither was the cost of following Jesus. She knew that the cost of following Jesus wasn't cheap either, because the cost of following Jesus will cost us everything. And that's so good. You know, you think, oh, it costs us everything. That must be terrible. No, the cost of following Jesus, yes, it costs us everything, but we get so much more than we can ever imagine. And Mary, she knew this. And so the scripture states that the oil filled the home. The fragrance of this oil filled the home. So think about this for a second. They're sitting at the table. They're having dinner with each other. They're celebrating what Jesus had done for their brother. He had risen him from the dead. And they're all just having this meal in honor of him. And in the midst of this, Mary, she does this beautiful and humbling thing. And the fragrance of her offering fills the home. And everyone knows that something really big has just happened. Because this would have been a very specific odor, right? And they would have known what it is that she just did. They may not have known, you know, what was about to happen to Jesus. They may not have, we know that they didn't fully grasp or understand this, but they knew in her doing this that this was a very powerful and very significant moment. You know, this was kind of a foreshadowing of what was going to happen to Jesus in just a very short period of time. And so whether or not they realized the depth of it, it was a really significant act. And so in the midst of all this beauty, right, and in the midst of this experience, Judas, he interjects, kind of like abruptly, is like, this beautiful thing is happening, and Judas, he just interjects. And I have to imagine, and this is reading between the lines a little bit, but I have to imagine maybe he's feeling a little uncomfortable, right? Like, this is this beautiful and humbling thing that's just happened, and I am not living in such a way that I should, and so I'm a little uncomfortable with this, and I'm feeling a little bit convicted, and so I'd like to just kind of stop what it is that's happening here, because I'm not really comfortable with this scenario. And so he interjects, and he points out that, like, why would you just do that? That was so expensive. That was such a waste. Why would you pour out that oil? Don't you know how much that costs? And he is overtaken by his greed and doing this. And he's just quick to point out how wasteful it is. And he points out, in his opinion, that could have been used for something better. We could have put that to better use. In fact, he says, you know, we could have sold that and we could have taken care of the poor. And so as I was reading this account, I actually made a chart. Because I was like, I want to compare and contrast these two characters. Like, what's happening here? There's two very different experiences happening here with two very different people. So, you know, I wrote Mary at the top of the paper and Judas at the top of the paper. And I started, like, writing down their experiences and kind of thinking, you know, what's happening between these two people? These are two individuals who both spent a great deal of time with Jesus. Judas was a disciple, so he was literally living with Jesus for 3 whole years. You know, he's living with him, he's eating meals with him, he's watching him perform miracles, so he knows him pretty well. And Mary, the same. She was among the women that were with Jesus, maybe even one of the women who was financially supporting his ministry. And so she knew Jesus pretty well, you know. And so they had two completely different experiences with the person Jesus. They followed him. They lived among him. They shared meals with him. But again, vastly different experiences. Mary, she spent her time at the feet of Jesus. She spent her time listening to what it is that he had to say, and she knew this was the only place that she was meant to be. She knew this was an important place for her to be. But Judas, he spent his time seeing how he could benefit from being a follower of Jesus. Rather than sitting and listening to his words and putting them into practice, he was busy seeing how he could benefit from the things that came from following Jesus and living with him. And so we see Mary, she's soaking it all in. She's hearing what Jesus has to say. And then we see her putting it into practice. And then we see Jesus betraying, betraying Jesus. We see that happen. And so these are two, you know, completely different people. And so then we see Mary kind of asking a question. She doesn't ask it audibly, but we can kind of hear this in our mind, her saying to Jesus, she doesn't want anything to distract her from him. And so she says, what can I give you, right? What can I give you? That's kind of the language that is coming from her actions. What more can I give to you, Jesus? And, you know, so many times, speaking from my own personal experience, and I'm sure this has been true for all of us at some point in time, that we can be so quick to ask the Lord for so many things. We can be so quick to say, "What, Jesus, I need you to do this for me. Jesus, what can you do for me?" And if we could just have this posture of prayer like Mary and say, "Jesus, what can I give you? Jesus, what can I do for you?" Right? Our questions can turn from what can I give sometimes to what can I get. And that's kind of a dangerous place to be. So we want to be like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus saying, "What can I give?" Now, Jesus asks us. He really wants us to lift our prayers up to him, right? He wants us to give him our requests and our concerns. But when we do this, it needs to come from a heart that's consumed by him. When that is, what we ask of him, our desires will also be his desires, right? And so what we're asking of Jesus comes out of the desire that he has placed on our heart. And so Jesus wants us to lift up our praise. And our devotion and our selfless acts of honor, worship, service, all of those things he wants from us. While Mary, she's asking Jesus, "Hey, what can I give?" Judas, he is thinking of all that he did not get, right? He is busy thinking of all of the things that he missed out on because of Mary's act of humility. So Judas, he was so focused on the cost of the oil because the sale of it would have meant for more in his pocket, right? Because it says that he was taking money from the common purse. He was carrying the money. He was the carrier of the money. They put it all together as they were living together. And he was taking a little bit off the top. And so by Mary, you know, wasting, in his opinion, her offering, he was losing something. He was missing out. And so scripture, it shows us, you know, he was helping himself a lot of the time. So while Mary was saying, "What more can I give?" Judas was busy asking the question, "What more can I get?" And he wanted all the benefits of following Jesus around, but he didn't want to endure the sacrifice. He didn't want to give any more than he had to. And he wasn't really living out the example that Jesus had shown before him. And so Mary, she understood the cost of her oil. She understood exactly what it is she was doing. She knew exactly what she was pouring out, but it didn't stop her from doing it. In fact, she was compelled to do it. And so have you ever been like that? Have you known people like that, you know, that just want to continue to pour out even when you know the cost? But then we've also known people, right, who kind of shy off, or maybe we've been those people that kind of hold back because we're a little bit nervous to give more, because we're nervous of how that might affect us, right? We're nervous of the position that might put us in. And not only that, but maybe we have been people who have been fans of Jesus rather than followers, right? We wanted to be around to see all the good things that he did, but we didn't want to do the things that he was doing. And that's kind of like Judas. He was a big fan of Jesus. He wore the t-shirt and he wanted to follow him around because he wanted to be associated with him, because being associated with Jesus meant good things were coming his way. But no, he didn't want to pour out the oil, because that would mean he had to follow Jesus. And by following Jesus, it meant that he would have to sacrifice. And by sacrificing, it would mean that he would have to do the things that Jesus was doing. He just wasn't ready for that. He just wasn't comfortable with that. But Mary, she knew. She knew that following Jesus was more than just being a fan. It was more than just following him around and cheering him on and being excited to be a part of the good things he was doing and reaping the benefits of it. But it meant some sacrifice and putting some work in on her own. And so I have news for you. Following Jesus, it's going to cost you everything. right? It's going to cost you everything. But when you choose to follow Jesus, it is worth far more than you can ever imagine. You can never in your mind think of all of the wonderful things that will begin to happen in your life when you choose to truly follow after Jesus and be shaped into the kind of person that he would have you to be. So the next thing I thought about as I'm comparing and contrasting Mary and Judas is Mary acted in a way that says the cost doesn't matter, right? She acted in a way that was like, you know what? It doesn't matter what this costs. This is what I've got to do. And Judas was too busy asking the question, don't you know what that costs? You know, it was two completely different opinions. And so what a difference. Mary knew in her heart of hearts that no matter what the cost, being at the feet of Jesus was the most precious thing that she was ever going to do in her entire life. Just being near him. And so she knew that no matter what that oil costs, it could still never be enough. It was never going to be enough. And so when I think of that sacrifice in my own life that Jesus made for me, I think about how no matter what I can do or what I can give or the amount of works I will complete in this lifetime, it will never amount to what Jesus did for me, right? It's costless. You can't even imagine, you know, what Jesus does when he changes your life until he does it, right? You just can't imagine what that would be like, that grace, that forgiveness that came at no cost to you. It came at no cost to you, but it came at the ultimate cost for him. And so Mary knew that no matter what she did, it was never going to be enough, but that she had to do something. You know, isn't it great that Jesus doesn't require us to pay our own way? You know, he doesn't. He doesn't require us to pay our own way. He paid it for us. And he doesn't require us to do anything but just be accepting of his grace. That's awesome. That's amazing. I mean, you can't even think of it. In a world where a string is attached to everything you do, you cannot imagine the freedom that comes in knowing and loving and serving Jesus. Nothing we can do will ever be enough. And thank God. You know, thank God that his grace is freely given. And so Judas, you know, he's so busy saying, hey, don't you know what that costs? You know, how can you be so wasteful? And he doesn't want to sound greedy. He doesn't want to sound like he's that guy. So he kind of throws out, we could have given that money to the poor. You know, we could have taken care of people with that money, but you just kind of threw it down the drain. But he didn't want to sacrifice anything because that might take away from something that was benefiting him. He was selfish, where Mary was being selfless. And so finally, we see in Mary's actions that riches can never compare with serving Jesus with your whole heart, while Judas is busy saying, what a waste. He's saying, what a waste, when Mary knows, you know, that serving Jesus sacrificially, you know, in serving with your whole heart, nothing can compare with it. And so when you look back on your life, and you've served Jesus, you're never going to say it was a waste, right? You're not going to say it was a waste if you spent it serving the Lord. I worked in long-term care for a really long time. I still do, but on a different end of it. And I have had the great privilege of sitting with many people as they're passing away. And I call it a great privilege because it really is. And so I'm going to tell you there's a difference sitting in the room with a person who has served Jesus their whole life. There is a peace and a joy and a sense of worship that, you know, maybe you've never experienced that, but it's beautiful, right? It's a very beautiful experience, and it's a different experience. There is a peace in knowing that sacrificial living is eternally rewarded. And so it reminds me of this old hymn, and I've shared with you before, I love hymns. They're one of my favorite things. I love the stories of them. I love to listen to them. And it reminded me of this hymn, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. It is so sweet to simply put our faith and trust in Jesus, to sit at his feet, to listen to his words, to have faith in knowing that he is a God that keeps his promises. He keeps his promises to us, and that we can put our complete faith and trust and anything that he has to say to us. We don't have to worry about him having ill intentions. We don't have to worry about strings attached because it is so sweet to trust in Jesus and to simply take him at his word. Mary knew this peace. She had this kind of faith, and she poured out the best that she had in honor of the Lord. And that is such an act of sacrifice. Jesus, he goes on to say at the end of this passage, he didn't stop, you know, there with the oil and with Judas's comments. He spoke and he said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." You know, if we were to read this alone, we might think that Jesus is saying, "Hey, I am more important. Worry about me. The poor are not important," right? But that isn't, if you would read it literally, I guess. But that is not what Jesus is saying here. That's not what he's saying at all. In fact, in that time, poverty was so prevalent. It was so commonplace that to forget the poor would literally be impossible because they were all around. They were everywhere. Everywhere you looked, there were people in extreme poverty. Hey, guess what? It's not that much different than the world we live in today. You don't have to look really hard to find poverty. We don't have to look really hard to see hurting people. They're everywhere. And Jesus was not saying in this time, "Hey, forget those people. They're not important." That's not what he was saying. He was saying, right now, you need to keep your eyes fixed on me because I am here right now. I'm here right now and I'm going to be leaving and I'm not going to be right here in front of your eyes. And if you would keep your eyes fixed on me, if you would do what it is that I say, and if you would live sacrificially, you will take care of the poor. You will take care of the poor because you will do so out of an outflow of your love for me. You will be compelled to do so because you will be so filled with the Holy Spirit that that's what's going to come out, right? And he is saying, you know, what did he say? He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's going to happen. When we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, we can't help but love our neighbor. And why is that? Because we've begun to look so much like Jesus and act so much like Jesus that we will just love our neighbor because Jesus loves our neighbor. We will be imitators of Christ when we sit at his feet and when we keep our eyes fixed on him and when we live sacrificially, when we live as Mary, when we pour it all out. You know, Mary gives us the ultimate example in the season of Lent. We're still in the season of Lent. We've got a couple weeks left, right? And during the season of Lent, this is a season where we reflect on where we are in our relationship with the Lord, and we make sure there's nothing in the way. A lot of us, maybe you have entered into a period of fasting, a time when you have given something up in order to draw closer to Jesus. And so we are becoming less of ourselves and more of him. And maybe we need to start thinking about what oil do we have that can be poured out on the feet of Jesus? What do we have that can be poured out on him? How can we sit at his feet? And how can we honor and praise him in this time? Let's not focus on the cost of our sacrifice, right? But focus on the gift that Jesus freely gives us. He gives us a gift of salvation. Church, your oil isn't cheap, right? It's not cheap. And it will cost you everything. When you choose to give your life to Jesus, when you choose to serve him, but you're also going to gain more than you can ever ask or ever imagine. The fragrance of your offering will fill the room and people are going to take notice. They might not know the significance of what's happening, right? They might not know exactly what is to come. Just like when Mary poured that oil on the feet of Jesus, the people around, it says the fragrance filled the room. They knew something big was about to happen. They just didn't know what it was. When we begin to follow Jesus in that way, your fragrance is going to fill the room. People are going to take notice of what's happening in your life, and they're going to know it's different. And guess what? They're going to want to be a part of it. Because people are in search of hope. And we as believers, as followers of Jesus, we have that hope. And it's our responsibility to share it in a world that desperately needs it.